general aviation's carbon footprint. How worried should we be? I'm Paul Plack, and this is Aero News. Welcome in to this Aero News special feature, and thanks for downloading us. Today, we're concluding our coverage of the annual industry review and market outlook briefing offered by the General Aviation Manufacturers Association. Today, GAMA President Pete Bunce discusses how environmental concerns will impact even the operators of small aircraft.
Let's talk about this gorilla that's bearing down on us, the environment. I think it's very, very important for the folks in this audience, the press, to be able to put all of the environmental issue into context. So let's talk about greenhouse gas emissions for a second. If you look at energy generation, one of the big, big contributors globally to what's happening with greenhouse gas. Add to that, when you look at deforestation, and again, the air we breathe is a global issue, big, big section. When you look at agriculture, 14% contribution to greenhouse gases. Industry, another 14. And when you look at road transportation, a big chunk at 11. Buildings, just that we have, 8%. Waste, about 3%. And when you get down to sea transportation, very, very small contribution. And overall air transportation, 2%. And in the U.S., because we don't have as much deforestation issues, about 3%. So we use the term 2 to 3%. Of that transportation sector, when you look at this all together, about, when you go and do the numbers, about 14% total. But let's look at where general aviation contributes. We're talking about a sliver. In fact, that sliver is 0.2%. So it's important to have this in context. Does that mean that we don't care about the environment, that we say, oh, this isn't important? No, not at all. Because we, in aviation, because of the fact that fuel costs money and our customers don't like to spend more money than they have to, we are driven to efficiencies in our industry. Let's talk about that for a second. When you look at competition, every one of the aircraft manufacturers out here, every one of the engine manufacturers in this room that belong to GAMA, are competitors in this marketplace, and their job is to do the best they can toward efficiency. And what are the factors that drive efficiency? Well, if you look at speed, you look at the payload that we can hold, you look at the range, and then you take a look at fuel burn. And the equation is just simply additive divided by fuel burn, and that comes up with efficiencies. Now, is that something we just do now? No. We've been doing this since we started building aircraft. In the 1930s, why did we move from biplanes to monoplanes? For that efficiency equation. And we constantly do that. If you look at what's happened in jet engine technology, and you look from the early days when we had turbojet engines and we switched to fans, look at the efficiency gains that we have been able to do. And when you look at the piston side of the house, our ability to go and now be able to run lean a peak and have the digital technology available even in the cockpit to be able to go and monitor cylinder head temperature, we are able to get those efficiencies as well in the piston end. But efficiencies are additive in the engine arena by also the weight of the aircraft. And that's why we've gone so aggressively, when it makes sense, to composite technologies. And that just doesn't include the actual structure of the hull structure. That includes fasteners now that are composite technologies. But we're trying to reduce weight wherever we can. GA leads the way in this capability. And then using our advanced fluid dynamics and aerodynamics to be able to go ahead and make our airframes the most efficient as possible using the advanced computing technology really, really makes a difference for efficiency. But efficient use of the aircraft or efficiency in the aircraft is only one part of the equation. Modernization is the second. And if we modernize the system, estimates range from 6 to 12% that we will be able to reap in efficiency just if we modernize the air traffic control system. Let me give you an example of where this makes really a poignant example for you. The Gabby 1 arrival going into LaGuardia. Now, we're sitting down here in Washington, D.C., and aircraft that are overhead coming from the south that are flying this arrival over the top of us have already started their descent. They start to head down to cross at this Louis intersection, which is 180 miles away from LaGuardia at 13,000 feet. And then what do? They drive for 120 miles at 13,000 feet. Powers up, driving along, burning extra fuel. And then they go back, then they go down even lower when they pass the Brand intersection, 60 miles away from LaGuardia. Well, what would a modernized system give us? It would give us the continuous idle descent. Back in my previous life, when we pulled the power to idle, we said we were making gas. Because you just, when you pull the power back and you're letting gravity pull you down, you are not burning fuel. And you're able to, on this descent, to start to stay up at altitude where you burn efficiently and to be able to go pull the power to idle, use very little fuel to come down. And then if we can get aircraft to funnel in using this, the technology that we talked about before with RNP approaches and ADS-B and having computer-to-computer interface, we're going to be able to get this goal, the 4D trajectory, and that is going to save us fuel and it's going to save on emissions. Atmospheric science is completely, totally complex. And we don't know a lot about it. If you go and you do something to one thing like CO2 emissions, you may impact NOx. And there's all kinds of variables out there. I don't claim to be an expert. The experts are out there in academia. The experts are out in the scientists that we employ in industry. But what we do know is that you can't make decisions based on emotion. And that's why our government in the U.S. and the European Union governments have to put science toward figuring out the right answers to this. It is not something that we should base decisions on an emotion. We have this opportunity now to shape the policy of our government as we go forward into the next administration. If we go and give the science that is needed to our negotiators as they go up to ICAO and we're able to deal with the environmental gorilla that's facing us on a global level, we will be able to make smart decisions. If we go and approach this with emotion and without the science, we will make dumb decisions that will shrink this industry or constrain it versus allowing it to grow. And that's why it is absolutely so critical that we take this opportunity during 2008 to communicate using the press, using the industry, to communicate to whomever comes in this next administration that aviation has to be the priority of the next Secretary of Transportation. We need to get on with the modernization program, and we need to spend this year in 2008 focusing on getting this entire industry together, because we are all in this together. The environmental challenge is not just facing the airlines. It's not just facing general aviation or the cargo guys. It's facing us all. And if we put this front and center on the inbox of the next administration out there and say, what is the National Science Foundation doing to work with NASA, to work with the EPA, to be able to get the science, to be able to allow Dan Elwell to go up to Montreal and to be able to talk at ICAO and have the science with him to be able to go in and make smart decisions. That's what we need this administration to do, and this industry has to come together to do it. So, ladies and gentlemen, if we can focus on anything in this next year, it is bringing this industry together, working as a team to be able to go and advance modernization and move the ball forward. Thank you.
In a moment, we'll return with reporter questions and answers from Pete Bunce and Alan Klapmeyer from Gamma's annual Industry Review and Market Outlook Briefing. You're listening to a special feature from Aero News.
Shoot happens. Come on, you know it does. Even the world's top test pilots know there are in-flight situations you can't always recover from. Mid-air collision, control failure, pilot incapacitation. In severe emergencies, do what the world's top test pilots do. Use a parachute. Except, instead of having to bail out of a moving aircraft, you can have the safety of a BRS full airframe recovery parachute. BRS has parachutes for an enormous variety of aircraft, from experimental to light sport, and all the way to retrofits on certified airplanes. Shoot happens. Will you be ready when it does? Call BRS today at 651-457-8651 or visit us online at brsparachutes.com.
Welcome Welcome back to our Aero News special feature. I'm Paul Platt. We've been listening to Pete Bunce's comments at Gamma's annual Industry Review and Market Outlook briefing. The session wraps up now with reporter Q&A.
I was told we've only got a couple minutes for just a couple of questions.
I think we've got some microphones going around the room, too.
Gentlemen, even though we're not totally decided on who our particular parties are going to be putting forth for president this year, do we have any outreach and do you have any feedback from any of the campaigns in regards to whether they are looking favorably upon the message you want to present to them?
I think we, in conjunction with our sister associations, are trying to get on the agendas. In fact, I just had lunch with Jim May earlier in the week, and the airlines were talking about getting together and trying to have a common list of agenda items to be able to take to the candidates to be able to say, again, that this is important. Please put it on your radar screen, and as you're considering the next Secretary of Transportation, try to make it someone that's a driving force in aviation, and I think that's very important. We're also working very closely with the acting administrator to be able to go and try to work these issues for him to be able to convey the message as the transition teams start to be built, whoever it is. I don't have a good feel yet on which candidate is more receptive to us, and I know I think that Phil's organization does has some of the vote counts and some of the things on aviation issues, but I think by and large, you can count on the aviation community coming together to try to put this on the agenda as we get closer and closer to the conventions.
And I'd also add that you'll notice in their campaigns, where they obviously have very busy schedules, they're all using general aviation.
Are there any plans by Gamma to launch like an environmental committee or something like that?
We are meeting this afternoon, and on our agenda item for the executive committee and our agenda item for tomorrow is environmental discussions. Of course, we've got that very heavily on our agenda. Dan Elwell is going to talk to us about how the administration is going to approach going up to Montreal, so we're very, very active. One thing that we found, though, is that the environmental issue permeates every one of the committees that we have. So if we're talking about flight operations and just what I talked about with modernization, environment plays a big role there. Technical Policy Committee, the environment plays a tremendous role in how we work on those efficiency designs. In legal, every other committee that we have in Gamma, environment just runs through that. What I think you'll see, though, more and more, one of the things that Gamma is very well known for is we have a lot of data analysis that we have available on our website. And as our website is being revised here and the new website comes up, I think you're going to find more and more resources for the press to be able to access that shows actually based on studies, actual data out there that you can use for different stories about the environment. And I think that we serve a need in providing that data.
Pete, in looking at the overall deliveries with the light airplanes down, could that be seen as a harbinger of the cycle going the other way, considering the economic news that are that's everywhere today regarding the potential recession? How strong is that backlog?
Well, I'm going to let Alan address that because he's, and I think he commented on it a couple of things. I think that, one, we work very hard in Gamma in conjunction with our sister associations to quickly try to address the issue of the slight decline that we see in there with the bonus depreciation that just came out in the stimulus package. And I think if you look at how that stimulus package is structured for aviation, that there is a definite there is some definite help that we can see in the piston manufacturers because the backlogs are not as robust as we have in business aircraft turboprops. But I think that Alan talked about the dynamics in the marketplace. Perhaps that paradigm that we had before is shifting, and I'll let you add.
Yeah, I think if you look at demographics and stop thinking about the addressable market as people that are already pilots or already have airplanes, instead think about need for transportation, distribution of businesses, people with second homes, people who need to go visit family or whatever else, that disposable income, these kinds of things. You can see a very large population of people who would be candidates to be in this market. And so I think it really comes down to the industry and how do we effectively go out and market to those people. And by market, I mean properly educate them about the benefits so that, you know, this isn't about spin, this isn't pet rocks, this is products that have true value, and we need to go out and demonstrate that value so that they understand it. Again, here's where I made the comment about I do believe it's reversing. I think that as the business jet community has done a very effective job of demonstrating that true value to businesses, that will begin to trickle down to people who are not aviation enthusiasts but see that benefit and will say, how do I get that result? I should also mention, I think we've got other changes in the industry like Sport Pilot, like Air Taxi, other things that are going on that really do shift the foundation on how people will look at this going forward. We had a pretty strong December. I think you've seen some numbers on durable goods also that blend into economic reports that look good. Pete mentioned some of the tax policy that's changing. So I feel pretty good about the way this end of the industry is looking going forward. Thank you very much. We appreciate you coming. Sorry we ran over time.
Pete Bunce is the president and Alan Klapmeyer, the 2008 chairman of the General Aviation Manufacturers Association. You've been listening to a special feature from Aero News. On the web, you'll find us at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.